with you.
Welcome, welcome in the name of our Advent King, our Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We especially pray for God's blessings on our seven catechumens. It was 7 weeks ago tonight that we gathered here for questioning part one, and we reviewed the Bible and who God is. And the bulk of our time was spent on the Ten Commandments. Tonight we move to the second article, or the second part of the six chief articles, the Apostles' Creed. And in our worship service for tonight, we'll sing our opening hymn, then we'll have our questioning. That'll help. They'll get that relief quickly in our worship service. And that will be in place of the confession and absolution and introit, the more preparatory part of our service. And as soon as the questioning is over, we'll continue on with the readings of the church. And we've got special readings during this Advent midweek focus. Our primary focus is on the gospel reading, the prologue of John, John 1, 1 to 18. We looked at the first five verses of that prologue last week. We'll look at verses 6, 7, and 8 specifically tonight. We'll continue on next week, and then we'll conclude on Christmas Day with that special focus on John chapter 1. We pray that God would bless us as we hear the Word that became flesh for us and for our salvation. Our opening hymn, as we heard in our prelude, "Lift Up Your Heads, You Everlasting Doors," 339. The propers that we'll be using this evening are on the inside of the bulletin. Our special midweek Advent readings are on the back page. Brief outline of the service is on the edge. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time as we hear His Word and receive His gifts this blessed Advent season. One last thing before we go on with our service, I'll introduce our catechumens. We have 2 years of catechesis with me and 2 years of Bible study with Pastor Moline. So you've got to complete those first 2 years until you can get in my classroom. And these seven, by the grace of God, hope to be confirmed on or during the Easter Vigil this year. So we have Gunnar Bauman, Vivian Cheek, Ava Eric, Randy Robler, Dean Perrin, Natalie Steinhauser, Ivy Thewen. So keep them in your prayers. They've been doing a great job, and they're ready to go tonight. God says, "Whosoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven." That's the purpose of our catechism questioning tonight and always. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special season, a season of reflection, a season of repentance, a season of anticipation, but most of all, Lord, a season of joy. Joy knowing that you keep your promises. Joy knowing that Christ, the very Word of God, has taken on flesh and blood for us and for our salvation. Through his perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection, forgiveness, life, and salvation are ours by grace through faith. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus continues to come to us wherever his word is proclaimed or taught in its truth and purity. And the gifts of God, the holy sacraments, are administered according to your command and promise. And Heavenly Father, knowing that our sins are forgiven and our name is written in the book of life, we look forward with joy and anticipation till the day when you take us to be with you forever in the mansion of heaven. Heavenly Father, we pray earnestly, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. We sing our opening hymn number 339. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, as I mentioned before, our questioning for this evening will cover the Apostles' Creed, the second chief part of the Catechism. And before we get into the details of the Apostles' Creed, we need just a little bit about creeds in general. Gunnar, what does the word creed mean?
I believe.
I believe, from the Latin credo. That's where we get it. I believe. It's a confession of faith. Vivian, what are the three main or ecumenical creeds of the Christian Church?
The Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian.
All right. Apostles, sometimes called the Baptismal Creed, the Nicene Creed, generally confessed on Lord's Supper services, and the Athanasian Creed, otherwise referred to by the catechumens as that really, really long one. Which of those three creeds is the one that we're going to study in the catechism, Ava?
The Apostles' Creed.
The Apostles' Creed. Randy, what is the first article of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth.
Okay. Now, Luther teaches us the meaning of the articles. Dean, what does this mean?
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, has given me my body and soul, my eyes, ears, and all my members, and my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He has also given me my house and home, food and drink, wife and children, land and animal, and clothing and shoes and everything that I have. He richly and daily provides me with everything that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me against all evil. All this he does out of highly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. Therefore it is my duty to thank and praise him, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
Very good. Hyper fast. Very good. Were you listening, Sam? Going to be you in a couple of years, okay? All right. So the two main teachings of the first article of the Apostles' Creed are creation and preservation. Natalie, when we use the word create, or I should say when God uses the word create in the Bible, what does that word mean?
To make from nothing.
To make from nothing. Out of nothing. Ex nihilo. God speaks the word and things come into being. So if God didn't use any raw materials to create the world, with what did he create the world?
His word.
His word. That's how powerful that word is. How long did it take, Ivy?
6 days.
6 days. Natalie, like what kind of days were they?
24-hour days.
Yes, just plain old regular 24-hour days. Dean, what happened on the seventh day?
He rested.
He rested because he was tired? No, God doesn't get tired. To give us a pattern for our work week. Randy, could God have used evolution to create the world?
No. Oh, yes.
Yeah, he could have because God can do anything. Did he?
No.
All right. How do you know for sure?
The Bible.
The Bible tells us how God created everything, of course. Okay, so, Ava, what is God's most important or foremost visible creation?
People.
People. People. What is God's most important invisible creation, Vivian?
Angels.
Angels. Gunner, what are the two types of angels?
Holy and unholy.
Holy and unholy. What day were they created?
We don't know.
We don't know. God doesn't tell us. But we know they were created during the 6 days of creation. Vivian, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. What does that mean? What is the image of God?
Without sin.
Without sin. They were holy and perfect. Do we still have the image of God now?
No.
Why not?
We sinned.
We sinned. Adam and Eve sinned, and we carry right along with it. We said that the second main teaching of the first article is preservation. How do we define preservation?
God gives us everything that we need to support this body and life.
everything we need to support this body and life. Keep this in mind about 8 or 9 weeks from now when we have our next questioning, because that sounds an awful lot like daily bread, because it is. All right, let's shift to the second article. Randy, what does the name Jesus mean?
The Lord saves.
The Lord saves. Dean, what about the title Christ? What does that mean?
The anointed one.
The anointed one. Natalie, what is the second article of the Apostles' Creed?
And in Jesus Christ is one and only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. Third day he rose again from the dead, ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge both the living and the dead.
Isn't it amazing when we're not giggling how easy that comes out? Yes. All right. We don't want Gunner to be left out. Gunner, second article of the Creed. What does this mean?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, born, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, and purchased and won me over all my sins from death and from the powers of evil, but not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood, that I may be his own and live under him, and serve him in a righteousness, innocence, and blessedness,
About five words left. Lives and reigns.
Lives and reigns all eternity. This is most certainly true.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Some people would say that those words are the most important human words ever written. Luther's meaning to the second article of the Creed. Okay, we spent a lot of time studying the second article of the Creed, studying the person and work of Jesus. Ivy, what are the two natures of Christ?
True God and true man.
True God and true man. Why did our Savior have to be true man?
So that he could die.
So he could suffer and die. Why did our Savior have to be true God?
So that he could rise from the dead and save us from our sins.
Rise from the dead and save us from our sins. Natalie, for what threefold office was Christ anointed?
Prophet, priest, and king.
Prophet, priest, and king. He is prophet, priest, and king, and that office of prophet, priest, and king continues through the church today. We talked about the two states of Christ's work on earth, and it's not Nebraska and South Dakota. What, Dean, are the two states of Christ's work?
Humiliation and exaltation.
Humiliation and exaltation. So, very simply, Dean, how would you explain the humiliation of Jesus?
When he has all his power, but he doesn't use it.
He has all the power of God in his person, but he doesn't always use it. How then would you explain the exaltation of Jesus?
When he uses all the power.
When he starts fully and completely using his power again. All right. One of our key foundational Bible passages is John 3:16. Randy?
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Perfect. Okay, now from John 3:16, we studied the sometimes challenging topic of justification. Based on John 3:16, Ava, what is objective justification?
Jesus paid for everyone's sins.
Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world. Objective justification. But not everybody's going to go to heaven. Based on John 3:16, Ava, what then is subjective justification?
Forgiveness is mine when I believe.
Only those who believe will receive the forgiveness of sins. So, Vivian, when will Christ come again?
We don't know.
We don't know. Judgment Day, the last day, the great and glorious day of the Lord. So that's why, especially during this season of Advent, God wants us always to be ready. Let's shift now to the third article of the Creed. Vivian, what is the third article of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, so it's the Holy Spirit, and then five parts under the Holy Spirit, and we spent time in each one of those five parts. Ava, what does this mean, the third article?
I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps to Jesus Christ the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
This is most certainly true. We can't by our own reason or strength. The Holy Spirit is in the business of sanctification. Randy, what does that $5 word mean, sanctification?
To make holy.
To make holy. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit holies us. Through what means, then, does the Holy Spirit work or holy us?
The means of grace.
The means of grace. Natalie, what are the means of grace?
Word and sacrament.
Word and sacrament. That's how the Holy Spirit works. It's very simple. That's where God attaches his promise. Ivy, what then is the fruit of faith?
Good works.
Good works. They don't save us, but they flow from faith in Christ. Ivy, we studied the church, and we studied two types of churches for our catechism class. What are those two types of churches?
The visible and the invisible church.
Okay, the visible and the invisible. In other words, one you can see and one you can't. Natalie, who belongs to the invisible church?
All believers.
All believers, but only believers. And we call it invisible because only God can look inside your heart and see if you believe. In addition to believers, who also belongs to the visible church, Dean?
Hypocrites.
Hypocrites. Randy, what's a hypocrite?
A person who says they believe, but they really don't.
Someone who says they believe, and they really don't. Unbelievers don't belong to the church. They couldn't care less. But there are some, sadly, fake and phony Christians. We say we confess the resurrection of the dead. Ava, whose bodies will rise on the last day?
Everyone's.
Everyone's, believers and unbelievers. Vivian, does that mean that unbelievers will get a second chance to believe?
No.
No. Once you die, your fate is set or sealed. Gunner, most important question of the whole night. How can you be sure that you have eternal life?
Jesus died on the cross for me.
For me. For me. We don't have faith in our faith. We have faith in Christ Jesus. Excellent job. Excellent job. Thank you. Our service continues with the readings of the church.
The Old Testament is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the appointed gradual as found in the bulletin.
The Lord is near to all who follow him, to all who follow him in truth. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
The epistle is from Titus, chapter 3. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia in the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 384 of the Father's Love Begotten. 384.
Thank you.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. So far, our text. Please be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the major figures, major players, major themes during the season of Advent is a man called John the Baptist. Now, sometimes people would prefer to call him John the Baptizer, or as Pastor Moline would call him, John the Lutheran, because that's what he is, preaching and teaching, not about himself, but about Jesus. We are introduced to this John by the Apostle John in our reading for tonight, verses 6 through 8 of the prologue of John, John chapter 1. In the other Gospels, we find out all kinds of things about this John the Baptizer. We know that he was the product of a miraculous birth, his mom and dad well past the years of childbirth. An amazing scene where his father was stricken mute because he didn't believe the message of the angel. And then when he wrote down, "His name shall be John," miraculously he could speak again. John's parents were old. We don't know what happened to them. They probably died, and John was orphaned at a young age. We know that he spent a lot of time out in the wilderness. Sort of a strange, almost cult-like figure. He ate strange food. He wore strange clothing. He preached fire and brimstone. And hordes of people came out to see him in the wilderness. Why? So that they could hear him preach and be baptized with a baptism for the repentance of their sin. In our prologue for tonight, John chapter 1, we get none of that. None of that. And that's intentional. That's on purpose. Because the message is not about the messenger. The message is about the Word. The Word that was with God at the beginning. The Word that is God. The Word through which all things were created and nothing that was to be was created without this Word. This Word is coming into the world. And to prepare the way for this Word, God sent a special messenger. A man sent from God whose name was John. The primary thing here about John the Baptizer is that he did not go of his own accord. He was sent by God. He had a special call and calling from God to prepare the way for the Messiah, for Jesus, for the Word. My friends, we can learn a lot about a preacher, a messenger, a witness, with regard to who sends him. If the preacher comes on his own accord, without a call, without authority from God, It should be a major, major red flag. Not so with John. John is sent by God with a special mission, a special task. He came as a witness. What does a witness do? A witness tells what he or she has seen or heard. A witness does not give an opinion. A witness does not give what they think might have happened or what they feel in their heart. That has no place in the testimony of a witness. Just the facts. Just the facts. Like an old episode of Dragnet, that's what a witness does. Just the facts. John came as a witness, and not any kind of a witness. He didn't come as a witness to talk about what it was like living an ascetic lifestyle out in the wilderness. He didn't come as a witness to talk about a diet plan of certain types of locust. He didn't come to give a witness about wardrobe. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. What light are we talking about? The light that John introduced us to last week in the first five verses of John chapter 1. The light comes into the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The light comes into the darkness, but some love darkness more than light. This light is the life of the world. This light is the Word. This light is Jesus Christ, who seven chapters later boldly proclaims, "I am the light of the world." My friends, John is a witness about Jesus, the light. There were a lot of people who flocked to John. They were curious about his personality. They were curious about his lifestyle, his clothes, his diet. They were curious about all the outward things, but that's not why John came. John came to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. My friends, we heard it just a moment ago, didn't we? For God so loved the world, two chapters later in John, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. God's desire is that all people believe. God's desire is that all people would shed the darkness and cling to the light, which is salvation, the forgiveness of sins, through the light of the world, Jesus Christ. God desires the eternal damnation of no one. That's why he sent Jesus. Jesus, who came into this world to save sinners. Are you a sinner? Jesus came for you. Were you born in the darkness of sin? Jesus is your light. This is the message that John proclaimed. This is the message that all of the prophets before John proclaimed. This is the message that all faithful churches and pastors proclaim now. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light who overcomes darkness, the darkness of sin, the darkness of death, the darkness of the grave, the darkness of damnation. Jesus, the light of the world, has come. Sometimes, preachers forget that it is not about them. Sometimes preachers would rather draw a following to themselves. I've had more than one pastor, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastor, tell me the reason their church is growing because they personally are a people magnet. You hear that? Can you imagine a pastor saying that the church is growing because of the man? How sad. How depressing. How misplaced. How unfaithful. The Apostle John teaches us that John the Baptizer was not the light. John was not the light, and he knew he was not the light. He was there to proclaim the light. He was there with his mouth to preach Jesus, the light of the world. He was there with his finger to point to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God has given you a pastor who is nothing more than a mouth and a finger. And if that pastor is anything more than a mouth that preaches Jesus crucified and risen for you, and a finger that points you to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, there's a problem. Perhaps you should run. Jesus is the light of the world. John the Baptist merely reflected the light of Christ. It's that funny time of the year right now when it seems like the moon is in the sky longer than the sun. Have you noticed that? During the day, if you look really, really hard up into the sky and there aren't any clouds, you'll see the moon. And right now it's pretty full. Why do you have to look so hard at it? Why do you have to look so hard to find it? Because the moon has no light source of its own. It merely reflects the light of the sun. And when the sun is shining, you don't even notice the moon. My friends, that's what God is teaching us tonight. When the light of Christ is shining forth, everything else pales in comparison. You don't have people walking around saying, "Oh, what a bright moon we have this afternoon." No. The brightness comes from the sun, and the moon merely reflects it. John the Baptist, a witness, a mirror of a reflection of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. Earlier this evening in our questioning portion of the service, we talked about objective and subjective justification. Jesus came into the world for all people. Jesus bled and died for the entire world. Verse 9, the true light which enlightens everyone. The light of Jesus Christ is for all people. The light of Jesus Christ is for the entire world. Jesus is the true light. But some would prefer a lifetime and then ultimately an eternity of darkness. Others are fooled by fake, phony, artificial, counterfeit lights. There are many false lights in this world that promise something they can't deliver. Every cult that is out there, whether it be the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or anyone else who has a Jesus who is less than true God and true man at the same time, living, dying, and rising from the dead for the forgiveness of sins, that is a fake light, that is a false light, that is a light that leads to ultimate darkness. There are many in our world that cling to the false light of reason. If I can't think it, if I can't figure it out by the scientific method, I'm not going to believe it. My friends, if your God is your reason, you are following a false light. How can your God be science when science changes every day? My friends, there is only one true light, and that is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the light and life of all people. There are some that follow the false light of emotion. It's got to feel right. We heard earlier tonight that the Holy Spirit works through the means of grace, and the means of grace are word and sacrament. Let me tell you, folks, for the most part, word and sacrament are not all that exciting. They're not as exciting as a laser light show. They're not as exciting as a polka or rock and roll band. There are all kinds of things out there, good and bad, that will stoke your emotions. But if your God is your feelings, you are following a false light. And we have to admit, even in the church, those who proclaim to be Christians or Christian pastors, there are many that are consumed with false doctrine, false teachings, not the God of the Bible, not salvation as revealed to us in Holy Scriptures. And these false teachers, these false preachers, are false lights. I would be remiss if I didn't say at least something during this particular year at this particular time. My friends, beware of internet church. Beware of internet church. Now, we have an internet footprint now that we didn't have the 1st of March. There are many people who can't come to church, many people who shouldn't be coming to church, many people who are afraid to come to church. And so to bring the word, to bring the light of life to them, we're on the internet. We've been on the radio for a long time. My friends, one of the dangers with internet church, not every church on the internet is faithful and true. Not every church on the internet is reflecting the light of Jesus Christ, the true light that has come into the world to save sinners like you and me. Beware. Be careful. The Lord has given you a pastor, and here at Good Shepherd, he's given you two of them. Pastors to not point you to themselves, to not promise you any showmanship or glitz, but to be witnesses to the light, Jesus Christ, the light and the life of the world. My friends, how easy it is to fall for a false light. How easy it is to get consumed with things that seem so good, that promise so much. There are many times when our eyes and our ears and our hearts have drifted. Tonight, know that Jesus Christ has come for you. For all of your sins of preferring the darkness over the light. For all of your sins of falling for the false lights of reason, emotion, or even false teachers in churches. For all of the times when you wanted to be the light rather than Jesus, the light of your life. For all of these sins and more, Jesus has come for you. Jesus, the Word made flesh, has bled and died for you. Jesus is risen from the dead for you. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in the book of life. You now are no longer children of the darkness. You are children of the light. Open your eyes. Lift up your heads. Listen to the Word of God. Feast on the gifts of God. My friends, today, let us all, pastor and people together, along with John the Baptizer, John 3, verse 30, he, Jesus, must increase. I, John, I, Clint, we, members of Good Shepherd, must decrease. Why? Because Jesus, the true light that enlightens all people, has come into this world to save sinners. Thanks be to God for the light of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our light, and our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith this evening as we heard our confession from our catechumens on the Apostles' Creed. We confess together the Apostles' Creed. Please stand.
I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into hell, and sits at the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From hence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we offer before you our common supplications for the well-being of your church throughout the world. So guide and govern it by your Holy Spirit, that all who profess themselves Christian may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in the unity of spirit, in the bond of peace and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, that they may please you in all things. Behold in mercy all who are in authority over us. Supply them with your blessing, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. We humbly ask your abiding presence in every situation, that you would make known your ways among us. Preserve those who travel. Satisfy the wants of your creatures. Help those who call upon you in any need, that they may have patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, be released from their afflictions. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We sing together the offertory as it's found on page 159. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy,
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Mercy on us, where
body of Christ given for you. When I, the Lord, bless you in peace, and when your baptism will come in always to that instruction. Amen. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We stand and sing together the Nunc Dimittis as it's found on page 165. Give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn.
Welcome in the name of Jesus, our Advent King, the light of the world. No darkness can overcome. If you didn't get the Good Shepherd news and notes when you came in, make sure you grab some on the way out. All the activities and events, details of all of our Christmas and New Year's services are listed there. Next Wednesday night, we'll have kind of a special treat. It will not be a communion service. It'll be an Advent Vespers service, and the children of the congregation will be providing much of the music next Wednesday. Christmas Eve, we've got three services spread out so people feel comfortable. Christmas Day as well. So check those out, and we pray God's blessings as we continue our Advent journey to the manger, to the cross, and to the empty tomb. Our mission this month is missionary pastor David Preuss in the Dominican Republic. We've got some newsletters and some special envelopes there. Please keep Pastor Preuss, Dr. Preuss, in your prayers. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic. Lifelight Bible study tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Anything else, Pastor? Have a great. We'll dismiss from the back to the front. To the seven catechumens, you did a great job. Normally, we would have them line up, and you could shake their hands and tell them how proud you are of them. Well, maybe someday we can do that, but we're not going to do that tonight. So we thank God for your great confession, and we look forward to hearing part 3 in a couple of months. God's blessings in Christ.